So we are in the middle of a series that we're looking at various characteristics of God. And this one is a bit of a two-parter. If you weren't here last week, Fiona talked about kind of hearing God, a God who speaks, hearing God through the Word, through the Bible. And she wonderfully encouraged us that God is someone that speaks through the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We believe that the Scriptures that we've received are inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by human hands. Fiona used that lovely image of God as the architect of the Bible. It's what we all say, don't we, that Christopher Wren built at St. Paul's Cathedral, but he didn't actually lay one physical stone. It was built by him, but it was put together by many different builders, and yet all held together through the inspiration of him as the one architect. And in the same way, in a similar way, the Bible has one author, but it's been written, who is God, but it's been written by many people over thousands of years. The Bible tells one unified story that's about God who desires relationship with us. And the Bible points towards Jesus, who is the ultimate expression of that relationship. The Scriptures point to a God also that speaks in all sorts of different ways. And Fiona reminded us of some of those last week. So through the Scriptures, we discover that creation speaks. But also we see in the Bible regularly that God speaks to his people in lots of different ways, sometimes directly, sometimes through circumstances, and in many other ways. And I want to speak this week about a God who speaks, and I want to talk about the gift of prophecy. Or simply put, maybe a less scary title would be, simply how we hear God's voice today. I'm so grateful for the gift of prophecy in my own life and in the life of the church. I'm so grateful that we get to hear God speaking into our lives in all sorts of different ways. So my question this morning is, do you want to hear God more in your life? Do you believe that God wants to speak to you as his children? Do we think that God might even want to speak through us, to guide us, to lead us on right paths for his name's sake, to quote a famous psalm that we've also kind of sung about as well? As Christians, I believe that we're meant to hear God speaking to us today. Yes, through the Bible, but also in other ways. The Bible is the primary way that we often hear God speaking to us today. He speaks through the Scriptures to us, inspired by the Spirit. But the Bible itself teaches us that God speaks outside of Scripture as well. And that we as human beings, created in his image, are designed to hear his voice. I love this description of Moses in Exodus 33, verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. So the Israelites are in the desert. They've created a tent where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the presence of God symbolically dwelt. And Moses would go in and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of their tent. And this is the amazing verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. I love that. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as one who would speak to a friend. But this wasn't just for Moses or any of the big prophets that we see in the Old Testament, like Jeremiah or Isaiah. Jesus came to show us exactly what a relationship with God is like. And he came to enable that relationship with God to happen for us. And he came to bring all of creation together in unity through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so we see in the person of Jesus, who showed us exactly what a relationship with God is meant to be like, someone who had an intimate relationship with God, who he called Father. Someone who regularly heard the voice of God and was led and guided by that voice, day by day, moment by moment. We see Jesus hearing God's voice and responding in obedience. It's clear with the disciples that just like Moses, they were also called friends of God. That's what Jesus named them. He said, "You're no longer servants, you are friends." And so we're just like Moses was a friend of God, and God spoke to Moses as a friend. We see in Jesus this intimate relationship with God, and this intimate relationship was passed to the disciples through the life of Jesus. In John chapter 10, there's this example that Jesus uses, this beautiful example of shepherd and sheep. And he says, Jesus, talking about his disciples, talking about those that would follow him, he says this: he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And actually, this is an ancient, this is a beautiful picture from the ancient world of shepherding. Those hearing Jesus would have imagined and seen this picture happen regularly. If they weren't a shepherd, they would have seen shepherds at work. And what shepherds would do is that they would have their flock, and at night time, they would take them to somewhere safe, and there would be this huge pen. And in the sheep would go, and then the next shepherd would come along, and they'd put their sheep in with the previous shepherds. And then the next shepherd would come along, and he'd squeeze his sheep in with those other two shepherds' sheep. And they would all be bundled in together to keep warm and to keep safe. And then in the morning, the first shepherd would come out, and he'd go to the hillside, and he might call his sheep, or he might sing to his sheep, or he might play a flute or some kind of other instrument. And the incredible thing that would happen in the ancient world is that shepherd's sheep would then come out of the pen once they heard their shepherd's voice. None of the other sheep would come out. They would stay waiting to hear the voice of their shepherd. Such was the relationship. Such was the intimacy. Such was the closeness that each shepherd knew the voice of, each sheep would know the voice of their shepherd, and they would respond in once they were called. And Jesus is saying that's what our relationship with God is meant to be like. We are meant to hear the voice of God. And when we hear, respond and follow and listen and follow. It's an incredible picture that Jesus uses of what our relationship with God is meant to be like. We're designed to hear God's voice. Our world today, especially, is full of noise, full of voices competing for us to follow them. And yet God's heart for us is that amongst all of that noise, we would be able to hear the gentle, loving voice of Jesus calling us out, speaking to us words of hope, words of love and assurance, guidance and direction. Jesus wants to speak to us, and he also wants to speak through us. Again, if you read the Gospels, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's very clear that Jesus speaks to us to guide and lead us and encourage us, but he also wants to speak through us. And today's encounter that Wendy so wonderfully read is a great combination of God speaking to and through Jesus for this woman, which also gives us some encouragement about what hearing God's voice for each one of us can look like. It's not an accident that this story is in the scriptures. We see that Jesus is to, first thing we see is that Jesus is prepared to be open and to hear God's voice and to hear God guide and direct him. I sometimes wonder if we are so keen and busy to get on with our day and to get our jobs done, that if we didn't rather, if we paused to ask God or to listen to him more, how different our days might be. It says in verse 4 that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And we read that and we think, oh, okay, Jesus had to go through Samaria. But the first readers of this story would have paused and kind of looked at each other, puzzled and quizzical at that simple statement in verse 4. In fact, it was customary for all Jews to go around Samaria when traveling from Jerusalem to Galilee, a journey that could add days to their travel. They did this because they didn't want to have anything to do with Samaritans. Because of history that we don't have time to go into, and Jews viewed Samaritans as second-class citizens. They viewed them as different. And there was religious, ethnic, and a political divide that ran deep in Jesus' day. And so all Jews would go round Samaria rather than through it. It certainly seems that John wants us to understand, by putting that kind of bit of information in there, so that Jesus was responding prophetically to God's voice, because actually he shouldn't have done that. As a rabbi, as a teacher of the law, he shouldn't have gone through Samaria. He should have gone round. So what is Jesus doing going through Samaria? Well, the underlying kind of implication is that Jesus must have heard the voice of God and done something radically to have done something so radically different to anyone else in his day. He must have heard a nudge from his heavenly Father, and that becomes apparent later as we read the story, doesn't it? When he should have gone round, he chose to go through. What if God wants to give us those kind of prophetic nudges as we listen to his voice in our lives? Nudges that it might encourage us or others towards a better experience of God's love and grace in our lives. As an example, I remember my vicar in the church where I grew up. He shared a story about driving home one night late. It was dark, it was raining quite heavily, it was reasonably late, and he was going from one place to another, and there was definitely a route that he would normally take. You know, he knew how to get home, he knew the shortest route that avoided the most traffic, the most direct route. And he, just as he was driving, he told this story, and I remember it so vividly. He told this story and he just felt kind of something nudge him to go a different way. And he thought that was strange because it was the longer way around. But he was like, you know, okay, maybe God is just encouraging me to do something a bit different on this dark and rainy night. And so he kind of responded, and he kind of turned off his usual route, and he went round the longer, more complicated way. And it didn't make any sense to him. He was like, why am I doing this? Seems a bit weird, really. I just want to go home. And he was driving down a road, and then in the distance he saw, as part of that church, I ran an interns program. We had like 15 interns that would come and intern with us for a year. And in the distance, in his headlights, he saw one of these interns, and she was pushing a bike that had a broken chain and a flat tire. And it was raining, it was pouring down with rain, and it was late. And he was like, oh, maybe God just nudged me to come this way rather than that. So he pulls over, and he goes, are you okay? She was like, no, I've got a flat tire, my chain's come off. He said, look, stick your bike in the back, I'm going to take you home. And this person, young woman, late at night, pushing a bike, suddenly, just through the obedience of my vicar growing up when I was a kid, just responded to a simple nudge from God. He could have chosen to ignore it and thought, oh, that's silly, that's just, you know, the cheese I had earlier or whatever. But he chose to trust that it was God. And it was inconvenient, but somebody who was probably feeling a bit vulnerable was helped. And isn't that just incredible? What if God speaks like that all of the time, and What if we just learned to listen to those simple nudges from God? Just like Jesus did, he chose to go through and not round. So Jesus, let's pick up with Jesus. He sits down from his journey. And in the heat of the midday sun, a woman comes to draw water. And we think, oh, okay, it's a well, that's fairly normal. But again, if you know some of the history and the custom around in Jesus' day, this was highly unusual. Again, those hearing this story would have kind of stopped and furrowed their brow, because it was custom of the day to travel to a local well early in the morning or at dusk, just before it got dark, because those were the cooler parts of the day. Most women would have done this in groups. It was customary for women to go and draw water, clearly stronger and more able than the men. And they would go in groups early in the morning or at dusk. And it would have been a social time. It would have been a chance for connection and friendship. And it would have been, you know, like going for a coffee, I suppose, but slightly heavier. And so to come, for a woman to come in the blistering heat of the day, it was clear, it would have been clear to those hearing this story that this woman, for some reason, was not welcome, that she'd been excluded. And so Jesus, because he's awesome, does not ignore her. Because he's amazing, he does not exclude her. But he engages her in conversation. But he does so by asking her for a drink. How incredible is that? I love the vulnerability of Jesus here. The King of Kings, the Son of God, the Savior of the world is vulnerable in this moment. He doesn't look down on her. He doesn't display his greatness. He is vulnerable. I think that's so important, especially when it comes to hearing God's voice and actually just generally being a Christian who follows Jesus. We may have the impression that hearing and speaking for God, being prophetic, involves bellowing, "Thus says the Lord." And yet Jesus chooses to reveal to her that he's thirsty. Jesus is vulnerable in this moment. And I think as a church and as a people, we need to show vulnerability. We need to show vulnerability. The gifts of the Spirit, including hearing God's voice, are meant to build the church up and point us to God who loves us. They aren't meant for us to show off and to somehow prove that God exists. That's not what the gifts of the Spirit, and that's not what hearing God's voice is about. It's not to show how amazing we are. It's to show how loving and caring God is. It's all rooted in love. And if you don't take anything away apart from this, know that hearing God's voice is and always should be rooted in love. Paul gives some guidelines, some wonderful practical guidelines in the Corinthians about hearing God's voice. And he's talking about all sorts of gifts that the church can use. And the context is for them, the context that Paul is speaking into is for them to not compete, but to work together like a body made up of many parts. He says that when we work together using the gifts that God has given us, that the foundation should always be love. There's this famous passage, isn't there, in 1 Corinthians 13. If you've been to any wedding, you've likely heard it. It's read at weddings all the time. Even though that Paul isn't in any way talking about marriage in this moment, we tend to use this passage for weddings. And there's nothing wrong with that. But really, Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about prophecy and about hearing God's voice. And he said that it all should be rooted in love, which is patient and kind, that always puts others first. He then says this, which I think is so important when it comes to anything, especially hearing God's voice. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He's rooted it all in love, and then he says this, that we should follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, especially hearing God's voice. Jesus' first concern when talking about the woman, when talking to the woman at the well, is love. He's gentle. He wants her to hear God, but from a place of love and not judgment or exclusion. God wants to speak to us so we know greater depths of love, so we know greater depths of intimacy. That's the purpose of God speaking to us, love and intimacy. God wants to speak through us so that others would experience God's love in their lives. The gifts of the Spirit, including hearing God's voice, are meant to build others up. But here's the thing. It's always going to, when we hear God, it's always going to be a bit risky. It's always going to feel a bit weird. We're always going to feel a bit vulnerable. And it will always require a certain level of faith, a certain level of stepping out and trusting that that is the voice of God. At any point, this woman could have rejected Jesus. She could have got angry. She could have got walked away or worse. But Jesus takes a risk. He's vulnerable. He takes a risk and shares something that only God could have revealed to him. He realizes that she has had many husbands, and the person that she's with now is not her husband. Now, I want to be clear here. John who wrote this gospel, isn't wanting to show us a judgmental attitude that is somehow calling out some kind of moral failure on the part of this woman. Remember, Jesus is exposed here. He's vulnerable. He's wanting to communicate God's love to this woman. And we can tell from her response that she receives it not as a judgmental word, but as a liberating word. She is set free from this prophetic insight that Jesus shares. When she gathers the people from her community, the community that had previously judged and excluded her, what does she say? She says, "Come and listen to this man who told me everything I've ever done." She doesn't feel humiliated or pushed down, but set free. When we step out in faith and choose to hear God for ourselves and others, it should always lead to a greater sense of intimacy and freedom with God and with others. That's the purpose of the gift of prophecy, greater depths of love and freedom. Again, going back to Paul, when he encourages the early church in using the gift of prophecy, he gives some simple guidelines, a simple test to see if what they are hearing from God is actually God or it's just the pizza that they ate the night before. Just after Paul encourages us to follow the way of love, that little passage that I read a moment ago, when using the spiritual gifts, he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter verse 3. He says this: "But the one who prophesies," so the one that hears God and shares that, "the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouraging, and their comfort." Jesus' little nudge from the Father is like a word of knowledge to this woman that God sees her situation, that he knows. And she is immediately, is she judged? Is she rejected? No, she is strengthened to go back to her community. She is encouraged to share what God has done in her life. And she is comforted and freed from any sense of shame of the past. Wow. All from Jesus being obedient and going through Samaria and not round. Being vulnerable and open. Taking a risk and sharing what he'd heard from his Father. The result was love and healing, not for this woman, but for many. Samaritans came and they believed, didn't they, as Wendy read to us. The result was more of the kingdom of God, more love, more good news was shared, more people's lives were impacted and overflowing with God's love and God's grace. What if the greatest prophetic act that you could do this week was simply to notice someone that needed strengthening, encouraging, and comforting? What if hearing God's voice looked like buying someone some chocolate this week at work and just giving it to them because you just had this sense, this little nudge from God that they might need some encouragement? What if it looked like asking God to speak in a way that you asked just the right question of someone that brought light and joy and hope into their life. What if it looked like just asking God, who's the person this week that you just want me to invite for a coffee, Jesus? What if it looked like maybe once or twice this week, before you headed out for your day, saying a simple prayer like this: God, I thank you that you can speak to me. I thank you that I can hear your voice. Show me a particular way that I can love somebody today, either through a word of encouragement or through a practical act of kindness. Help me, Jesus, with my words and my actions today, with my choices. Help me to strengthen, encourage, and comfort someone. And in a moment, I want us to pause and just do exactly that. Just take a moment to be still and hear God. But before we do that, I just want to really quickly just share some other thoughts. Because I don't want us to over-spiritualize this. As I said at the beginning, I think all of us can and should hear God's voice. But we often think it's either for super spiritual people that, you know, that really understand this, or it's really weird and we don't want things to be weird, so we just tend to avoid it. Because actually, Jesus didn't over-spiritualize it, and Jesus wasn't weird. I don't know if you know that. And I think, what I want to do is just share just another encouragement that if you ever receive a word shared by somebody else, or if you ever kind of give a word, hold it lightly. When we hear God's voice, I think we're meant to hold it lightly and weigh it and wonder. Whenever I share an encouragement with someone, I'm going to share a couple of stories in a minute, I always say, actually, this may be God, but I may have got it completely wrong. And if I've got it completely wrong, just ignore it. It's me, it's not you. Just, I'm sorry. I'm very British. I tend to apologize for existing before I do anything. Because actually, in 1 Thessalonians, it says this, chapter 5, verse 19, it says this. And it's some really good advice on prophecy and on hearing God's voice. It reminds us to not quench the spirit, so actually to believe that God does this thing, does this kind of stuff today, and not to kind of knock it down. And it says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them and hold on to what is good. So actually, if you give or you receive a word from someone, a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, just like Jesus did with this woman, you're meant to kind of test it and weigh it and see if it's God. Firstly, does it strengthen, does it encourage, and does it comfort? And secondly, does it feel right? Does it sound like a word from God for you? And if it doesn't, that's okay. That's okay. Couple of examples. I was praying with someone once, and we'd just been talking about some difficult kind of situations that they were about to head into, a difficult period of their life, a moment. And we'd been chatting about that for a little while, and we decided to kind of pause that conversation and pray about it. And so I was praying for this person. And as I was praying, I just paused and I just thought, I'm just going to listen to God and to see if God might want to bring a word of encouragement to this person. And I immediately, into my mind came, in our bathroom downstairs, we have a shelf, and on it there are jars with shells in and little labels. And what my lovely wife Min does is whenever we go somewhere special, mostly a holiday, to a beach, she collects the shells and stones and pine cones and anything that she can find that's beautiful. And she brings them home and she arranges them all into a jar, and she closes that jar and she puts a lovely label on it and writes, you know, Cornwall 2016, Cornwall 2017, Cornwall, you can pick up a theme. We go on holiday to Cornwall a lot. And they're all lined up in our downstairs loo. And as I was praying for this person, those jars just came into my mind. And I was like, oh, Lord, what is that about? And so I said, oh, Lord, what, you know, I just pause and I ask God what that might mean. And for us, they are just moments of joy and peace and happiness in our life. And so whenever we see them, we are reminded of lovely, happy times as a family. So I said to this person, you know, this might be God or it might not be, and I'm sorry if it's not, but I just have a picture of some jars with shells in our downstairs loo. And for us, that they mean this, like I've just said, they mean moments of joy. And I just said, maybe God is wanting to say to you that you're going into a difficult situation, but in amongst that difficult situation, God is going to show you moments of joy and peace, even though it feels hard. And then I quickly said, well, if that doesn't mean anything to you, then just please ignore it. And this person kind of, you know, chuckled, and I was like, oh no, what does that mean? And then we continued to pray and that. And then at the end, they said to me, thank you for sharing that word. Last night, this person said to me, last night on my desk, I had lots of shells and I collected them and I put them all into a jar and displayed them on my shelf. And so for this person, that word just meant more than I could ever imagine. And they just simply went away encouraged for this next moment in their life. I remember another time when we were looking for a new youth worker. It's the first time we'd done this in my time in a church here, and we put out an advert, and we had a number of people apply. It's before Laura got here, and a number of people applied, and a few of us shortlisted three individuals. Tim being one of those individuals who, as many of you know, if you knew Tim, came to work here as our youth worker for a few years. And I remember looking at those application forms, and I just had this nudge from God to kind of pray over them, but not about the people as youth workers, but what they might go on to do after they were here. And I thought that was a bit strange. I wanted them to come and do youth work here. I didn't want them to leave. That's a ridiculous thing. But I thought, oh, okay, God, if that's you, I'm going to do that. And as I spent some time reading through these application forms and praying for these individuals, I had a little picture of them and a little bit of information about them. For each of the application forms, I kind of sensed God kind of, I imagined in my mind what they might go on to do. And for Tim, when I read his application form, I thought, this guy could be a vicar. This guy could be a vicar. And didn't really think anything of it. Tim was clearly the right person. We shortlisted three, interviewed two, and out of those two, Tim was clearly the right person for the job. It was like a unanimous thing. He was clearly right, and we offered him the job. And about 4 or 5, 6 months into being here, we were in the office up there, and Tim kind of turned to me and said, you know, Steve, I've been thinking a bit about my future, and I'm wondering whether kind of discerning about being a vicar might be right. And I was just able to say in that moment, well, that's funny, Tim, because when you came here, God kind of encouraged me to pray through each of the application forms, and I told him the story that I just told you. I'm not going to repeat it. And it was just a moment of encouragement. I tell that story because I met Tim for a coffee last week. I haven't seen him for probably years. He came during the pandemic onto my doorstep and waved goodbye from however many, goodness knows how many feet we had to be apart from each other during those weird months. And I haven't seen him since then. And he was in London, so he was like, let's have a coffee. And he's in Wakefield now, he's a curate. And he is just, I just listened to some of the stories of him being a curate in Wakefield. And he's just, it was just such an encouragement to hear how he's getting on up there. And he's loving it, and he's loving being a curate, and he's looking forward to the next stage. And I just remembered that little moment, that little nudge. And then years later, I'm sat in a coffee shop talking with Tim, who's been a curate and doing amazing things up north. And it can just be that. It will always feel risky. You'll always feel a bit vulnerable. I would encourage us to listen to God for ourselves first, get used to that, and then maybe take that leap and maybe just be open. Jesus was open to hearing God, and it transformed somebody's life. You know, we can all hear God's voice. We are all meant to do that. We are all designed to have that kind of relationship with God. So before we move on, Joe's going to wonderfully come and pray for us in just a moment. But before we do that, I want Min just to hand around some pens. And if you've got a prayer card near you, we got those prayer cards. So they're at the back. We put prayer cards out in the pews. And I just want you to turn those over and use the blank space on the other side. And we're just going to take a few moments to be still and to hear God. God is often speaks in a gentle whisper. He doesn't shout at us because we're his friends. When do you shout at friends? You don't. You speak to them quietly because they're near you. And, you know, Elijah, when he went and hid in the mountain, God wasn't in the hurricane. God wasn't in the earthquake. God was in the still, small voice. God was in the gentle whisper. The Psalms say, be still and know that I am God. Jesus often retreated to a quiet place and to listen and to be with the Father. So I just want us to hold a moment of quiet. But before we do that, I'm going to apologize that it's cold in here. When I first came into this building, I didn't put the heating on because it was actually quite warm. But it's not warm now. I'm so sorry for that. That was my fault. But I just want you to be encouraged. So what we're going to do is, if everyone's got a pen and a bit of paper, I just want you to close your eyes and take a breath. And I want to remind you that Jesus is the good shepherd and that we are humbly his sheep and we get to hear his voice. He is a good father or mother, if that's a more helpful image for you. He is a good parent who longs to give us good gifts. Good parents speak to their children words of encouragement. So we're just going to pause for a moment. And I want to I just want you to say, Jesus, please speak to me. Please strengthen me. Please encourage me. Please give me a word or a picture of comfort. And just to say, what might happen, we're going to pause in a moment, but what might happen is a Bible story might come into your mind or a word of scripture. A picture like I described might just come to your mind. It might seem very strange at first, just like jars of shells on a shelf. And you might think, that's weird. But maybe just hold, if a word or a picture or some kind of image comes to your mind, my encouragement to you is that God is good. So just pause and simply ask God, what are you trying to say to me? And remember, it's always meant to strengthen. It's always meant to encourage. It's always meant to comfort. If it doesn't do any of those things, it's not Jesus.